This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM by mobile app and on the web at kexp.org. My guest today is Elizabeth Ruther, Northwest Representative of the Defenders of Wildlife. Elizabeth Ruther is here to tell us about the status of grizzly bears in Washington State, the attitude of citizens, and the prospects for restoring grizzly bear populations to the North Cascades. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Thanks for having me.
Would you like to begin by saying a few words about Defenders of Wildlife?
Sure. Defenders of Wildlife is a national conservation organization. We have been around since 1948, fighting for wildlife. And we opened up a new office in Seattle a couple years ago.
And what is the focus of the Northwest Office of Defenders of Wildlife?
The Northwest Office focuses on carnivore issues as well as marine issues. So what we like to call our big three, wolf, grizzly bear, and southern resident orca. We also look at forest carnivores like fisher and lynx and wolverine and amphibians and forest chemical issues.
Let's now focus on the grizzly bears. Why should we be concerned about the status of grizzly bears? Why are they important?
Grizzly bears play an important role in the ecosystem, probably to a larger extent than people might think about. So grizzly bears are important for dispersing seeds and nutrients, whether that's by berries and more plants, or aerating the soil of alpine meadows to increase plant diversity, which also helps pollinators. They help eat insects, so they may curb insect breakouts. And so they have their niche in the ecosystem, which helps the larger whole operate at a higher functioning level.
Would you remind us of what grizzlies are like, their size, what they eat? You've said a bit about that already, and the habitat they prefer.
Sure. Grizzlies are pretty large. They're larger than black bears. They are omnivores, so they eat anything from roots, grass, berries, fungus, insects, and carcasses, and small rodents. And so they're really opportunistic. They actually eat about 10% or less meat, which is interesting. They hibernate during the winter from 2 to 4 months, October to April about. Females have their first cubs at about 5 to 7 years of age, and they generally have 2 cubs at that time. And the cubs stay with their mother for a few years before they disperse to their own ranges. Male grizzly bears encompass a few female grizzly bears in order to meet other bears, if that makes sense.
How much space or how large a range do grizzlies require?
Well, it depends on the resources I just listed, anywhere from 10 square miles to 300 square miles. So in the North Cascades, we gather about 150 to 200 square miles would be needed for a grizzly bear. And of course, that would be a female grizzly bear, and then males would encompass several females.
To what extent did grizzlies inhabit the North Cascades prior to the arrival of Europeans in the area? How many bears did there used to be?
Biologists estimate that there were about 2,000 to 4,000 grizzly bears in Washington State. In the United States as a whole, there used to be upwards of maybe 100,000, so 50,000 to 100,000 grizzly bears. That's a tremendous amount. And now there are probably less than 5 in the North Cascades. We usually say less than 10 bears in the North Cascades, but the truth is that researchers who are up there right now trying to find them are having a hard time doing so.
How do you go about figuring out how many grizzlies are in an area? How have scientists come up with the estimated numbers?
Well, they've put together a lot of expeditions into the North Cascades, which have been actually by foot, because a lot of the North Cascades ecosystem where the bears would be recovered in north central Washington, next to Canada, is rugged and roadless. I think 57% roadless area. So on foot, they bring barbed wire and a stinky attractant. And they hope that the bear, once visiting that stinky attractant, will leave their hair samples on the barbed wire. And of course, they look for sign, they look for scat, they look for tracks.
Where are there grizzlies in other parts of the U.S. right now?
There are other recovery zones, mostly in the Northern Rockies. There is one recovery zone that touches Northeast Washington. So we already have grizzly bears in the Northeast corner of the state, about a couple handful. They often travel back and forth between Idaho and Washington. And there is the recovery zone that includes Glacier National Park and the recovery zone that includes Yellowstone National Park.
What led to grizzly bear decline?
Overhunting, overtrapping for fur in the early 1900s. So, like I said, they estimate there are about 2,000 to 4,000 animals in Washington, and that's based from the pelts that were exported from the state or that went through the trading posts. And they never really bounced back. So hunted them to a level below what they could bounce back from. And now currently they are isolated from other bear populations because of habitat fragmentation and development around the ecosystem. So they're having a hard time leaving or coming into the ecosystem to find other bears.
What is the rationale for bringing back grizzlies to the North Cascades? What are the key benefits?
There are a lot of key benefits. It just depends on which one really speaks to you. You know, there are cultural benefits, spiritual benefits. First Nation and Native American peoples, grizzly bears play a really important role in their culture. Stewardship of our land for future generations. I've already mentioned the ecological benefits. And studies in other recovery zones have shown that there are economic benefits, too, to bringing a full suite of animals to an area. So Yellowstone National Park, the communities that are surrounding that park have seen benefits from the grizzly bears' return there.
And is that from tourists coming because they want to see the wildlife?
Yeah, they name grizzly bears as one of the top reasons that they've come to the national park.
Would you now tell us about your recent poll on the attitude of Washington state citizens towards grizzly recovery? What are the key findings?
We found that about 91% of voters in Washington value grizzly bears as a vital part of our American heritage, which I found quite exciting, and 85% strongly back science-based efforts to help the population in North Cascades recover.
And who did you poll to get these numbers?
We polled 600 residents across Washington state in rural and urban areas, cell phones and landlines, registered voters in the state in order to get a good idea of what voters might want when thinking about grizzly bear recovery.
Did you find any differences between eastern and western Washington and enthusiasm for grizzlies?
Well, what was so neat about this poll is that across the spectrum, there seemed to be support. You know, of course, there's variation, very high to moderately high, but I was so excited that it was all high. And yes, there was a little bit lower on the eastern side, but we also found that in the counties surrounding the North Cascades ecosystem, so Chelan, Kittitas, Okanagan, Skagit, Snohomish and Whatcom, they supported recovery to the tune of like 85-86%.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Elizabeth Ruther, Northwest Representative of the Defenders of Wildlife. Our topic is grizzly bear restoration in Washington State, and you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on listener-powered KEXP, 90.3 FM by mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. What is the history of government efforts to conserve grizzlies?
Well, the grizzly bear was listed as threatened in 1975. And actually, the recovery of grizzly bears has taken off in other recovery zones in the lower 48. So we have self-sustaining populations of grizzly bears over in the Northern Rockies now, which is really incredible. And that was due to the efforts of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. They put together, you know, recovery plans for those populations and then carried out those recovery plans. And we're witnessing the fruits of their efforts. And meanwhile, in the North Cascades, this population took a while to get its recovery plan. I think the North Cascades chapter was added to the lower 48 recovery plan in the mid-90s. And they're just getting started on implementing that chapter of the recovery plan for North Cascades bears now.
What geographical areas does the grizzly recovery plan for Washington State include?
It includes the North Cascades ecosystem, which I mentioned is like the north central Cascades of Washington that abuts Canada. There's actually a bit of the ecosystem that crosses over into Canada, and the Canadian government is working with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on that endeavor. And the Selkirk's Cabinet Yak recovery ecosystem in the northeast portion of Washington is also included.
Who owns the land in the North Cascades recovery zone?
The land is 88% federal land, which is a really high percentage of protected federal land. It's one of the largest contiguous blocks of federal land remaining in the lower 48, and it encompasses about 9,800 square miles. So that's a very, very large area. It's about 7% state land, 3% private, and 1% municipal or county land.
Why was the North Cascades recovery zone chosen over other areas?
Well, there were still bears there, so that's an important consideration when they're making the recovery zones. And also, it is one of the largest of the recovery zones. So for reasons I just mentioned, the vast area, the high protected public lands, there's, I think, a handful, half a dozen or more designated wilderness areas, which is outstanding. and high roadless areas, so intact habitat. Grizzly bears are very road averse. They don't like them. They stay away from them, which can have consequences for movement and resource finding and foraging for them. And so it really is kind of, you know, bear nirvana. It's rich in food resources. It's intact. It's protected. It's generally far away from populations. Even the rural populations that surround the ecosystem, there is the heart of the ecosystem that is quite distant from most communities.
What is the current process and timeline for making a decision about grizzly bear recovery in the North Cascades?
The current process that is underway right now is that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, in partnership with the National Park Service, are working on what is called an environmental impact statement. Basically, it's a restoration plan for recovery of the bear in the North Cascades. And that will include alternatives of how to bring the bear back and how to successfully recover a self-sustaining population. And in late summer, early fall, we expect to see that draft plan. And at that point, the public can participate by commenting on the alternatives that they would prefer, or if they see alternatives that aren't there that they would like considered. And then they'll take all those comments into consideration and address them and come up with what they believe is the best plan to recover bears.
What is known about the best ways to restore grizzly populations?
Well, there's a lot of lessons to be learned from the other recovery zones. I think that we know that they do well when they're given the resources and the habitat and the space. So in that way, perhaps it's a little bit easier than a more complicated recovery. And I think that we also know that including the communities that surround the ecosystem, are in the ecosystem, is very important. And I think that has been lessons learned over time. I think that we also know that communities successfully live with bears in the other recovery zones, and that it's just as much a people effort as it is a bear effort when it comes to recovering these, well, any animal, really.
So why not just let the grizzlies migrate in from Canada as one approach?
I think that actually has been the status quo. So they were listed in 1975, and they have been waiting to see if bears can come to the ecosystem. And I think what has kind of been borne out just by watching and waiting is telling us that they can't make it. So the ecosystem is not only having isolation issues on the U.S. side from our own development, but there's also development on the Canadian side that is making it difficult for bears to come from further north in Canada down to the ecosystem.
What is the preferred approach to restoration recommended by defenders of wildlife?
Well, I think that the science is pretty clear from our perspective. And when you're down to five bears or less, they're in trouble. They need some help quickly. And so from defenders' perspective, we would really like to see an alternative that includes adding bears to the ecosystem. Other recovery efforts for other types of species have included, you know, adding to the genetic pool, bringing other animals in so that they can bolster the population that's left. And so hopefully they'll consider adding new bears to the ecosystem. I think that's one of the most straightforward and science-based, with a proven track record to have worked in other areas.
How many bears would likely be added?
That is probably what will be debated in the restoration plan. I don't know what recovery scientists might think is the right amount. I think that, you know, nobody is aiming for a population of 2,000 to 4,000 bears, you know, that used to be historically here. I think that in a century, if we had 100 bears, it would be a successful recovery.
Commissioners from Okanagan County and some central Washington legislators object to grizzlies being brought in and claim that relocation from other areas is contrary to state and federal law. What is your response to their objections?
I think that we need to think about what type of future we want to hand our children and future generations. I think that whenever you have the opportunity to put an animal back where it was because of our actions, it's important to consider. And I think that everyone's concerns will be considered in the plan that's coming out. And I think that if you look at the poll and you see that, you know, 91% of people think that grizzly bears are an important part of our heritage, and that was across the board, I think that speaks to that there's probably not only support, but a willingness and enough space for grizzly bears among us.
If bears are brought in from somewhere else, where would that somewhere else be?
That's a good question. They would bring bears that would be compatible with the habitat type. And I'm not a recovery expert, so it would be great if there were enough bears in Northeast Washington to bring from there. I'm unsure, so I shouldn't necessarily speak to it.
What are the key threats to grizzlies in the North Cascades area?
The key threat is what's already happening and why their population keeps dwindling, which is habitat fragmentation and development. So the bears, they have enough food, they have enough intact habitat, they have enough denning habitat, they have enough resources, although climate change will impact some of their food resources over time, as well as their denning sites. However, their biggest problem is that there is no influx of bears from other places or their ability to move beyond the ecosystem to find mates.
You are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM by mobile app and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Elizabeth Reuther, Northwest Representative of the Defenders of Wildlife. Our topic is grizzly bear restoration in Washington State. In what ways will the ecosystem be likely to change when the bears are brought in?
You know, ecosystems are a lot like the machines we put together or cars we drive, planes we fly. So when I think about how it will be better, it'll be like a finely tuned machine, you know? So you can have a car without, you know, a muffler or a carburetor maybe, but that it runs better when all the parts are in place. And ecology is also a relatively new science compared to other sciences, natural sciences. And so we're still learning exactly how everything fits together in an ecosystem. But when I imagine bears being in the ecosystem, I imagine all the little connections falling into place. So a bear, you know, is digging for small rodents in an alpine meadow, which helps control the rodent population to not eat all the seeds in the seed bank. That helps the wildflowers flourish in the meadow, brings in pollinators. So I immediately go to kind of connecting the dots in the chain of events that happen that may otherwise not happen, which results in a loss of richness and biodiversity that I don't think any of us can comprehend.
How is the presence of grizzlies in the grizzly bear recovery zone likely to affect other wildlife?
I think that grizzly bears in other areas are kind of good movers and shakers. So if herbivores are standing around and wallowing in a certain favorite feeding ground, bears, they'll shake them up and move them on, you know, which actually can be really good when it comes to plant health and then other plant availability for other species. So they kind of keep everyone moving around, which in itself is helpful. And also when they're present with black bears then start to inhabit their more traditional habitat type. So black bears are more forest dwellers. And grizzly bears in our area would hang out more at the higher elevation alpine level. And so they start separating each other out a little bit and filling those two niches separately.
How are human communities likely to be affected?
I think overall that there would be positive benefits. I think that more visitors to the North Cascades National Park would mean people are spending more money for lunch, gas, overnight stays, and communities surrounding the park. I think that there would be a certain, you know, Washingtonian pride and having a full complement and suite of species. Animals are really symbolic, as we all know, and they expand our imaginations. And so I think that just as far as a state and as pride in our state, they would be a gem, if you will.
What are the key arguments against grizzly restoration that you've heard?
I've heard mostly that people are really afraid that they will eat livestock and that they are dangerous. They're bigger animals, and like any bigger animal, they do pose a certain risk, even if you were like looking at a horse in the face. Horses can sometimes be risky. And so the Defenders of Wildlife kind of specializes in coexistence measures. And we look at those problems and those concerns, and then we try to find answers around those concerns. For instance, in the Northern Rockies, we have an electric fence initiative to help people fence around their chickens and around their beehives, which are attractants to grizzly bears because, you know, they love honey. And then also when thinking about people in the woods with bears, there are already 25,000 black bears or more in Washington state. So really, people should be doing the same thing in the woods as they would for black bears when they're thinking about grizzly bears. And so Defenders of Wildlife has also started a Play Smart initiative because Washingtonians are already super smart when it comes to recreating in the woods and having a good time outside. And so we just kind of want to expand that thinking to like, yeah, you know, you bring your rain jacket and also bring your bear spray. Don't forget, because that is an important aspect of feeling confident and feeling safe, keeping yourself safe and keeping the bear safe in the woods.
To what extent will recreation be impacted by grizzly bears?
I can imagine that actually wouldn't be impacted tremendously. So in the Northern Rockies right now, when there's a mother with cubs, they might close a trail for a day, which seems like a prudent safety measure. Because as with black bears, you don't necessarily want to run into a mother with cubs. And so there have been no long-term closures of trails. I think that people might increase carrying bear spray or checking in with the ranger stations about where bears are, as they should be doing for black bears already. I think that the National Park and the Forest Service are gearing up and putting infrastructure on the ground that reduces attractants. So people need to make sure they use food storage lockers and campgrounds. So I think recreation won't be impacted, but there might be a few subtle changes that people should be getting used to.
You've been saying a bit about this, but how will humans need to change their ways to live in harmony with grizzly bears?
You know, I think what was so heartening about the poll in such high numbers, 80%, 80%, 85% in the Seattle area, people support grizzly bear recovery. And I think that you can turn that into a personal action by knowing how to be smart in the woods. So you're keeping bears safe as much as you're keeping yourself safe when you carry your food correctly and when you store it in a bear-resistant canister that keeps smells down, when you wipe off your picnic table and campgrounds to keep the bears and other wildlife out of campgrounds, to keep conflict down. And so I think people can carry that support for grizzly bear recovery into the woods with them every single time they're out there and remember to help make space for the wildlife that they're sharing the area with.
To what extent will ranching likely be affected by grizzly reintroduction?
Well, in the ecosystem, there's less livestock production than in other parts of Washington. And so it may be an issue, but we're anticipating that it would likely be a smaller issue than it is in other recovery areas already, like in the Northern Rockies. And already gearing up and thinking of ways to help ranchers and livestock owners that feel like they will be impacted with, you know, reducing attractants or carcass pits or removing carcasses promptly from the landscape.
What are likely to be the biggest challenges to grizzly bear recovery in the North Cascades area?
I think one of the biggest challenges would be finding the appropriate bears if they do choose to add bears to the recovery zone. There aren't that many bears in the lower 48, and they're all busy recovering, so it's unclear where and how many bears are available to give to the recovery effort in the North Cascades. I think that, you know, as with other large animals, getting everyone on board and working with all communities and all perspectives to answer those concerns and help people feel like they are ready for bears. So getting that infrastructure in place to reduce attractants and getting the electric fences up so that honey isn't raided or chickens aren't taken, I think is going to be an important aspect.
How long is it likely to take to establish a stable grizzly population?
Quite a while. So grizzly bears have a slow reproductive rate. And, you know, I was mentioning that female grizzly bears mature at about 5 to 7 years, and then they have their first cubs a couple at a time, and then they have a couple at a time every 3 or 4 years. So it takes quite a while to actually replace yourself if you're a female grizzly on the landscape, because not all offspring are successful, right? So biologists are estimating that it will take to the end of the century in order to see 50 to 100 bears on the landscape. And that's if everything goes really well.
Would you tell us about the Friends of the North Cascades Grizzly Bear Coalition?
Absolutely. Defenders of Wildlife has joined with a coalition of groups and organizations, businesses, tribes to support the efforts of North Cascades recovery, North Cascades Grizzly Bear recovery. And the core members include Conservation Northwest, Woodland Park Zoo, National Park Conservation Association. And we put together a website so that people could find out more information about the recovery process and if they wanted to be a friend of the North Cascades Grizzly Bear. If they wanted to sign a statement of support, they could do so at the website.
How can we best go about helping grizzly bear recovery?
I think becoming vocal when the time is right. So I was mentioning the restoration plan that will be out late summer, early fall from the agencies. I think it is really important to voice your support for grizzly bear recovery, to let the agencies know you're okay with adding a few bears, if that's the best science-based alternative. and letting the agencies know, as our poll indicates, that people would like the effort to be led by science-based data and expert biologists. So letting them know that. And also taking responsibility when you're in the woods and helping the bears by helping yourself and being smart in the woods. And if you'd like more information about that, we just launched an effort, Play Smart, so that people could know how to play smart in the woods at defenders.org/play-smart.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I think that I was most excited by the poll results indicating that there was broad support for grizzly bear recovery, because we're at a point in time, my generation and going onward, where we have the choice. Virtually every species on the planet will be within our power to either keep around or to watch blink out. And I was just really excited that Washingtonians get it and they've made the choice that they want grizzly bears in Washington for now and forever. And it makes it a really exciting place to work.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Elizabeth.
Thanks for having me.
You were just listening to Elizabeth Ruther, Northwest Representative of the Defenders of Wildlife. For more information, check on the web at northcascadesgrizzly.org. Sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts, along with KEXP's music podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on demand, and then podcasting. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on listener-powered 90.3 FM by mobile app and on kexp.org.